As you turn in your Bibles to Genesis 26, we get over to this chapter, and I want to read the chapter and look at what the Bible says about what's going on in the life of Isaac over here. It's very important. There's a lot of these things in the Old Testament that we see clearly because we see what God says about them. He said in 1 Corinthians 10, they're written, and we got them for our learning. And never let your learning be interfered by somebody trying to steal your Bible or something like that. We don't like Bible correctors here, and we don't put up with it. We'll try to help you get away from that mess if you got caught up in it. But I'm definitely not going to let a man I know corrects the Bible stand up here and preach to you. I'm just like that. I'm sorry. I don't tell people what they can and can't preach, but I do say this. If you're going to preach here, you got to preach the Bible. There's a sign up at most of these colleges, use only the King James Version. It's sad that you'd have to read that up here. I don't have that up here. Not up here where you can't see it. My sign says, if you don't do it, we come to get you, and you know we come to see you. That's what it says up here. It's written in Greek and visible writing. You can't see it. But we have a strict policy here. We will remove you from the pulpit if you use anything other than the King James Bible. And the reason you got to be like that is because the devil will take that thing and run with it, try to corrupt people and everything else. It's not easier to understand. I'm going to show you some things tonight that I believe will help clear up a lot of that stuff. But in Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land. As you know, in the Bible, a famine is always a test. And it said, beside the first famine, that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And he says, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, he says, and I will bless thee, and for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now, I want you to look at something right there. Now, in these first five verses here, we deal with the Lord of Isaac. This is Isaac's God talking to him. Your God, his God, same God. And he says there, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. I got a question for you. We've been through 25 chapters of Genesis, and we land here. Did Abraham fully obey his voice every time God spoke? But yet God counts it to him right there. I want you to get that thing right quick. I want you to take that in. That Abraham's sins were paid for somehow.
Yeah.
It works like this. The Old Testament saints got in on credit. We got in on paid in full. God didn't remember them over here. He'd put them away from as far as the east is to the west. Mm-hmm. And that thing just sticks out to me because that's the grace of God. He didn't bring up, Abraham obeyed my voice, but these times.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. But he said he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Can I give you a little secret here? The law didn't come to 400 years later, but Abraham kept it before it got here. Now, that blows my mind right there. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't talking about just the Ten Commandments. It's all of them. He counted it. Listen to this. When we get over to Romans chapter 4, you'll read that God accounted it to him for righteousness. He imputed and imparted righteousness to Abraham. So what's that mean? That means you ain't got it unless God gives it to you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And she said, and he said, she is my sister. I've heard this before somewhere. She is my sister. And for he feared to say she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me and for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. Now here's the funny thing. Look at this. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And that don't mean anything lewd or vulgar or nothing like that. He is just playing around with her the way you would with your wife.
Right.
And, of course, Abimelech called Isaac in verse 9 and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. Heard that before too. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done to us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Man, he's untouchable in the land now. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same a year and hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen. They didn't touch Isaac, but they went out and beat up his guys. See that? Saying, the water is ours. He called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Why don't you look down at verse 33. And he says, verse 32. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Underline, we have found water. That right there is the thing they were all trying to get right there. If the Philistines had wanted the men of Gerar there and so forth, wanted these wells in the valley of Gerar, I kind of wonder why they filled them up. Remember, Abraham just died. And now they filled up all those wells, and water's a great commodity over there, as you know.
Yeah.
And they filled up the source of water, and then there's without water, and that became a very valuable thing. And now Isaac's trying to get it back in there, and as soon as he gets the well open, they want to take it again. Why not have kept it open the whole time?
Yeah.
People do dumb things all the time.
Right.
It's kind of like we sit here and say, well, we got to protect these whales. They're endangered species, and we'll kill every baby that's in the womb if we can. I still think that man that said this, I forget who said it, said the only people that are for abortion have already been born. I believe Ronald Reagan said that first.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We'll kill the babies and save the whales. Don't make any sense. And needing water and pouring up a well full, it's been going on for quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get water out of that thing, I ain't going to fill it up. We'll keep it. So what's the problem with them? They wasn't strong in the cabeza or something. Something was wrong with them people. Either that or they're full of the devil, and that's why they kept doing things like that that just don't make any sense. And I look at this thing, and I see Isaac trying to find his place in life. See, when you have somebody godly ahead of you, and then you come along, you got to find your place in life. You got to find where you fit. You got to find a place you fit in. That's what he's trying to do. And how he did, and he did it in a good way. If you'll notice, Isaac, unlike Abraham, never went down to Egypt. What did Abraham do? He went trekking on down there as soon as he could. But he did copy him in one thing. Is this your wife? No, that's my sister. Yeah. Well, you come to find out she was Abraham's half-sister, so he only half lied. I just straight out lied.
Yeah.
You like that half-lie stuff. Y'all practice that stuff, don't you?
Right.
Well, I know it wasn't the truth, but it wasn't a lie either. It was a little white lie. Why are they always little white lies? Why are they that color? Put that race card back in your pocket, white man. You don't get to play them in America. But Isaac's servants digged in the valley. And we see with these things the ways in which we can serve the Lord. But I'll preach to you about the strategy of serving the Lord. There's definitely a strategy in it. You just don't jump in there. God's laid the thing out plain because he's not the author of confusion. He's got a strategy we follow, and his is always the best way. I've seen people try to serve the Lord in the flesh, and I may have done it for a couple of years. But besides all that, you mess that thing up real quick trying to do it in the flesh. You have the best intentions, there's no doubt, but God still wants it done his way. And looking at Isaac as an example of serving the Lord, we want to see the ways in which we can view our service to the Lord, whether it's something that would please God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you today, and Lord, we love you. We pray, God, that you'll use this time together, Lord, to help us to understand better your word, and Lord, to be better servants of you. We pray you open this text up to us according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, thou may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see, first off, if you look down at verse 17, we see an attempt to serve God. When people get saved, they know a lot of times, whether they believe it or not, when you first get saved, you really don't know anything. Even if you've been in church all your life, bless your heart, you may still not know anything. Right. But in verse 17, it said, Isaac departed thence, pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. Where was he told to go? Not to Egypt, not to follow the famine, stay in the land, remember? Mm-hmm. So what'd he do? He went to somewhere else. You know, they, you know, make sense to go over there. That's where all the things were, right? Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? How the flesh will try to reason with yourself and get you in a way? And if you'll notice, it says, Isaac digged again, verse 18, the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And it says, and called the names after the names which by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And then the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. So his first attempt to serve God in the flesh ended how? In strife, and it was strife that shouldn't have been there. Why? That was Abraham's. That was Abraham's. God wants you to follow the God of your father, but he wants you to follow him, not your father. Right. Now I want you to get this. Some of you have very good godly parents and good godly preacher daddies. But God wants you to follow him,
right,
not your daddy.
Amen.
Now listen to me carefully. From birth to the time you turn about 18, according to the state of South Carolina, you belong to your parents and you are not your own.
Right.
You can't just run, go do what you want to, and then when you get corrected, call DSS, because they ain't coming to get you.
Come on.
If they show up and you a whiny, spoiled brat, they'll tell you so.
Uh-oh.
I've been at the police department with them before, and they look at me and say, the only thing your kids need, ma'am, is to get a good whooping. They had one yet. And they're talking about, they're abusing me. They took away my Nintendo. Now, that's child abuse right there, if I've ever heard it, ain't you? I don't know how ever I ever grew up. We grew up didn't have anything since I was older. They tell us to get outside and don't be coming in out banging them doors, letting my air conditioning out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my air conditioning, their air conditioning.
Right.
And don't be slamming that door on your way out, or I'll come slam you. That's what we was told. Didn't matter whose house we was at. That was always the rules. Get outside. Can you imagine, listeners, can you imagine your parents with you, and you go up to the sheriff's department because they took your Atari, and you go up there and say, they took my Atari. That deputy probably whoop you right there on the spot. He said, hold on a second. He'd take off his gun belt and he'd sing his alarm. Whoop! There it comes. Come here. Then when your daddy got there, there's whipping number two coming. When I was in school, I didn't come home and say, hey, I got a paddling today. You know why? I got two if I did. They'd say, we're going to send a note home with you. I wouldn't worry about that. That thing's tore up before I got out of school. That's good. I'm going to tell him about that. Ain't no way. Not to get a second one. That's dumb. Yeah. Then I got older and found out you can't try somebody twice for the same crime. And I was like, see, I knew I was right about that. But I see this here, that the first attempt didn't work. Verse 21, we see the second ends in the same way. And they digged another well. See, watch this. They digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. So we see an attempt to serve God there. And the first ends the same way the second ends. Strife. I'm not here to tell you you won't have strife and conflict following the Lord. You will. But this was unnecessary because God had something else for him. He didn't want him walking where Abraham walked. He wanted him walking where he told him to walk, where God told him to walk. And then the second way we see a way of serving the Lord, we see an assessment. It says in verse 22, he assessed the situation. He removed from thence and digged another well. What'd he do? He said, you know what? This ain't working. Let's try this over here. And it says in verse 22, he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that, they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, for he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So the piece they found in this assessment works like this. They found the place where serving God was going to bring forth that fruit that God said they were going to get. Yeah. And when people try to say, well, you know, I'm trying to serve the Lord everywhere I go. They running into me. They hitting me hard. They doing this. Are you supposed to be there? Wow. And if you are, and God puts you there, don't leave no matter what they strive about.
Right.
But sometimes we put our situation in a place where we go in there and God backs up and lets us take all the shots because we didn't follow him there. There's guys that me and Brother Kirsch have met over the years, and their daddy would be a good preacher. I mean, a real good preacher. And he'd have two or three sons. All of them say they preachers. And they'd get out and they'd preach somewhere. And, you know, them older preachers try to be kind to young preachers. Boy, that's a good message. Meantime, they sitting there like this the whole time, you know. That's a good message you preach tonight, son, just like your daddy, you know. And they trying to encourage them and build them up in the faith and so forth. And finally, a church comes open. And they get that boy that church. He gets in there. The next thing, my phone's ringing. Oh, my God, brother, these people hate God. I can't even say, let's change the toilet paper out with new toilet paper and instead of them old rolls is back there empty. That they want to vote on it or vote me out over it. Unnecessary strife. So what am I going to do? I said, go buy some. I said, listen, I'll send you some toilet paper. Don't worry about it. That'll happen. But sometimes it happens because people help you get in a place you're not supposed to be in.
Right.
I tried to send Brother Kershaw one time. They sent him back. You remember that? Somebody asked me about that the other day, man. We was talking about that yesterday. Somebody was and said, how'd he find God's will? I said, he quit listening to me, amen. He went, you know, just had to, you know. But in good conscience, he said, I want to pastor a church. I feel like God's calling to preach. I said, there's a church down there. I sent him down there. And there was a guy down there who was a missionary drawing full missionary salary and drawing full pastoral salary as interim pastor. It wasn't that God didn't want that guy down there. That guy didn't want that guy down there because he's getting two paychecks a week. I believe it was a month later, that man was in so much trouble physically. I mean, just like that. God nearly killed him over that. Beat him to death almost. They got a pastor now. Ain't that something? I've always wondered about that. You know, that's not too smart to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Get strife for that. Did he tell you you didn't have kids? That's what he said. Well, if they had kids, we'd take them. They ain't got no kids, so, you know. At least that's what that guy told us. I don't know what them people really said. They probably said, yeah, let's get him. He seems like good. Well, he has a television, so we can't get him. I think that's probably more like the story. You ever met people like that? You got television, you can't sing in my choir type?
Come on.
Say, if you got a television, I sure do. Had one the whole time.
Yep.
Mine wasn't a monitor either. Mine's been a television the whole time. It's got hooks up for antenna, got a hook up for cable. But you'd be surprised to find out I don't have them things hooked up. I got the internet hooked up to mine where I can get all the channels. So you say there's an independent Baptist church, I'll look at you. Oh my God, he's got a television. And listen to this. Here's the thing. I don't watch all the channels. And it ain't because my thumb's broke. It's because my heart's right.
Come on. Amen.
I have never turned a television on accidentally to the wrong thing.
Yeah. Come on.
I like to watch fighting, wrestling, football, basketball, things like that. And John Wayne. Clint Eastwood. And I like to watch YouTube when Clint Eastwood's doing a speech in places. How about that? Set that chair up there and say, you didn't build this. Boy, I like that.
Uh-oh.
I've said for years I'd have in Ted Nugent for revival. He cut his hair. He cut his hair as short as yours now. I guess if I ever run into him, I got to get my calendar out, don't I? You talk about a guy believes in guns and got all the stuff in his heart about it. That guy does. But see, you run into a bunch of strife. Then you got to back up and assess, am I really supposed to be here? Most preachers just cut bait and run at that point. They don't assess. They exit. But they never find peace in their ministry. Isaac assessed the thing, and he went back and did this. And now instead of saying Sitna or Esek, he's saying Rehoboth. There's room for us in the land now. And looking at that, the path he chose in verse 23 there says this. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Watch this next phrase. And the Lord appeared. He's in the right spot. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. What's the next two words? Now he's in the right place. He's got peace and a fear not to go on. Right? So what about like strife? If you got strife in the ministry, you have peace and them have the strife. But the Bible says this, fear not, he says. Why does he tell them fear not? For I am with thee. That's why the fear not's there.
Right.
God let him go out the first two times and figure it out, and he figured it out. Now he says, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. There's the Abrahamic covenant. It didn't go with Ishmael, it went with Isaac.
Right.
And it says there, and in verse 25, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. So they've got Rehoboth over here. They got one going. And he says, I'm finally in the right place. He steps down to this place and God shows up.
Yeah.
When you look at what the assessment was, he had to say, am I doing right? God wants you to do right like your fathers did before you, but he wants you to do right according to how he's telling you to do.
Yeah.
I don't like when these preachers appoint somebody to take their place. That's too much like king preacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. In Baptist churches, they've always had one thing down through the last four centuries. We've been on American soil. They've always done. If I die, you find who's to be the pastor.
Right.
If I retire, you find out who's going to be the pastor.
Right.
I mean, I like people. I like to tell you, well, this guy might be good in my bed, but you got to decide that, not me.
Amen.
Now, I used to not preach this because I thought Jesus come for a retire, and I turned 50 last year. And I thought, oh, I might actually make it to 60-something. I want to be prepared for this thing. So you're going to retire? If I can get out of it, yeah, but I don't see none of that coming. But if I can... But see, I could die, then it really would be all on you, and I couldn't appoint nobody then.
Yep.
And by the way, can I say this to you as a church, and you understand my heart about this? I love my wife, but if I die before she does, don't you let her run this church.
That's right.
I've went and preached in places, and the wife looked at me funny, because, you know, I was like, what, are you the pastor now?
Come on.
Husband, one wife applies even after he's dead.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We've watched people ruin churches because the pastor's wife hangs around. Red went and preached to somebody one time, and this crazy old woman is still up there as a pastor's wife, and she didn't know she's crazy while the preacher's alive. Mm. He dies, and all that crazy come out. So he's up there preaching. They mention something about getting ready for pastor, and everybody looks over her like she goes,
huh.
I was like, man, ain't that a sight?
Yeah.
Used to go down to Faith Baptist Church in Lawrence and preach. Preached down there a lot of times. And that's Brother Dennis Carter's father-in-law started that church.
Yeah.
Started a Christian school there. Started at South Carolina Baptist Fellowship with Dr. Seidler. Miss Waters gives them no trouble in that church. Never has.
Yep.
And she has had to put up with people that should not have ever stepped up on that platform.
Yep.
She comes, she tithes, she goes home, she comes back next service, goes home, and the whole thing, faithful.
Yep.
Never gives no trouble, never gives any advice, never talks about the current pastor and comparing him to her husband.
That's good.
Others you go to, well, I don't like how he said such and such. We don't need to have him back. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We shall do it. Where are these men at? They's tough with the pastor's light. All of a sudden, they all...
Oh.
What happened, guys?
Come on.
But sometimes they have people deceived and all this other stuff, and you can't do that stuff. But I seen something in this text that really stuck out to me. After the Lord spoke, he digs another well. And if you look down there at verse number 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, this is what you underline here, we have found water. Boy, that's a good one right there, ain't it? We have found water. What kind of water did you find? Well, we got to be fruitful in the land, right? Was that over here somewhere? It was, right? Lord said, I'll make you fruitful in the land. How's he going to do that without water? I don't know if you know this, but there's a drought, the fruit trees don't grow.
Right.
And they're fruitless. But if you got plenty of water and you got the trees planted and all the work put in, they'll sprout out. And God said an hundredfold. That's the highest blessings in the Bible, a hundredfold. And we see that with what we're working with here, they got to have water. They strove for it here, strove for it here. God gave them Rehoboth and God gave them this water here. They said, we have found water. No strife over this water. So Isaac's going to increase in the land. He's already got all these cattle. And by the way, cattle need what to live?
Water.
Water. They said, well, we got all this sitting here. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. It's going to be real simple. We're going to do right.
Amen.
He builded an altar there. We found water. Comes right after that. And we find out that when he built this altar and he got this water going, the Bible talks of fruit in the New Testament that applies right here that you can see the teaching clearly. Number one is Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. What's he wanting to do with you? Make you fruitful.
Right.
In John 15, he covers that thing. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, he names off nine elements that make up the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits, fruit, singular. One thing God's going to do through you. Don't work on them nine elements because you'll never get it like that. You know why? That tree that produces that apple that you see, he's not working on making better stems. He's not working on making better seeds and better inside meat of the apple or better skin on the outside. He's working on the whole apple. Fruit of the Spirit is this. God does it through you. You can't work on that.
Right.
So how do you get it to happen? You take in the water, and God makes it happen.
Yeah.
All these guys that preach on fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you have any of those things?
Come on.
Or is the next thing you're going to preach on be beards? That's a fruit message if I've ever heard of a Holy Ghost filled one, ain't you?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ had a beard. They get mad if somebody in the congregation grows one.
Come on.
Now you figure that thing out. Then they say, listen, wire them glasses of the devil till they turn about 40 and need them glasses.
Come on.
I'm talking to you. You listening?
Preach.
I'm a helping you out tonight. Listen to this. They get the water. Now they're going to be fruitful in the land because the water is going to produce fruit. Still water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. Moving water, running water is a type of the Holy Ghost. But both of them are H2O.
Yep.
Got to have it both ways. You got to have it still and you got to have it moving. There's times when you read your Bible and you just skimming through the still waters. Sometimes there's a torrential downpour coming when you read the Bible. Sometimes you read the Bible and you get in harsh waters. See, like when somebody comes up and does things stupid in your life and you read in the Bible, next thing you see them in there. Don't go tell them. They ain't listening to you anyway.
Yeah.
God's trying to tell you what you're looking at and how to deal with it.
Right.
That don't come avoiding the Bible, though. Can't be fruitful avoiding the water. If we were to take and go up here and find some of these cattle farmers in town, there's one out there off 29 and Baker Road. There's a place over there. They got two ponds out there. You know why? In case the cows have a church split, one side can go to this pond and one side can go to this pond. They don't have plenty of water.
Right.
And when they get out there, they got plenty of grass to eat. They got plenty of hay. They got plenty of that other stuff. I forget what it's called, selvage or whatever that stuff is. And they got all that because of one reason. Somebody had water.
Yeah.
You got to have water. We have found the water. Not a water. We have found the water. We have found the water, right? So if we have found water, we found water, he says right there. We have found water. Now let me show you something here. In verse 25, there's four things that show us how to be fruitful. Look at verse 25. Number one, he built an altar. So what was that for? For prayer and for worship. For prayer and for worship. When you come into the house of God, this place is here for prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer and not a den of thieves.
Right.
It's here for prayer and it's here for worship, where you come and worship the Almighty, where you come and bow down to the King, where you come and worship Him. I hear people talking about, we do praise and worship. I don't care what you do. The Bible said to have prayer and worship.
Right.
Make your requests known before God. Pray ye one for another. Where does that take place at? It's all written in the New Testament. All them things are. And I look at this thing. I see he built an altar. Number two in verse 25. He called upon the name of the Lord. Not a Lord. The Lord. He didn't come there and say, well, there's many names for God and they all in different religions. No, he said, there's only one God and only one religion. That's Jesus Christ. He's the way. Listen, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one God that sent Jesus. And listen, that one God is still here today drawing men to Christ. They may be saved.
Yep.
He's not drawing them to false religions. That's a devil that does that.
Right.
Well, I was doing the Buddha dance, and it just brought peace to my heart. Well, bless your heart. Maybe it's all them candles you huffing with all them chemicals and making you feel all that way. You ever thought about that? I've always thought about that. Religion's got them candles. They got stuff in them candles. Man, I just feel so peaceful. Yeah, marijuana cures cancer, too. Just saying. That's what they're getting out of this stuff. Number three thing, he pitched his tent there. Where at? Where he built the altar. See, where he was going to worship God at, he got there. That was the two important things. Place to live, place to worship and pray. The right God, the right place, the right home life. Those all go together. And number four down there, his servants digged a well. Abel's servants that do nothing mean nothing. These did something, but they only done it after they failed. I have seen the best people that are living for the Lord do one thing. It seems like their life is full of success, but if you talk to them, they started out in failure. Why? Because they wouldn't listen to God.
Right.
They thought they knew everything, so they just done everything they knew, and failure came.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally hit the bottom and said, you know what? This stuff I'm doing ain't working. Lord, is there a better way than this? Is there something I'm missing here? And God said, yeah, do it this way. And all of a sudden, you know what they got? We found the water.
Yeah.
We found water. That may not be a big deal to you, but it's sure a big deal to them. They didn't have a Board of Public Works or a Draytonville Water Works or whatever to bring them water.
Yeah.
They had to get it out of a well or they wasn't none.
Yeah.
For all the eggheads that tune into this thing and you know all you Greek, I want to share some Greek with you tonight. Can I do that? Will that offend you tonight? I hope it don't. In the King James Bible and every English translation in the world, it says we have found water in some way, shape, or form. It's a positive statement. You know how these eggheads will be preaching in the Old Testament and they'll slip the things in. The Greek says they're not messing up because it's Hebrew where it come from.
Yeah, that's what I say.
They're not messing up when they say that. They're referring to the Septuagint when they say that.
Mm.
There's a version of the Septuagint you can get and it's in Greek. It's the whole Old Testament. But there's a part they don't tell you. I want to tell you. It contains the Apocrypha. How about that? Books that tell you how to baptize for the dead and books that tell you how, you know, all that other garbage they believe in, this purgatory and all this business and all this other stuff are included in the Old Testament text instead of being between the Testaments like when they came out in 1611, they translated all of it and showed you what you're being lied on to as well. So we take that and we look at that. They put that thing in the Old Testament. You may tell you what a false document that Septuagint is. Their Greek teacher told them that came out. That was 200 years before Jesus was born. That thing came out. 72 Jewish scholars went down to Egypt and blah, blah, blah. If they were Jewish scholars, they were not even, listen, they weren't even as good as the Sadducees when they got done. So how do you know? Well, I went and looked at the Septuagint about this verse. I want to see for myself something. You ready for this? In the Greek, that last four words, there's five there. And they read like this. Ho se ho kahi ome hiroskos hudatos. Say, so, man, that's impressive. I know it is. Ain't that something? I wrote that down. I'll be able to tell you what it said. Can I tell you what it says in English? We have not found water. That's the last five words in the Septuagint in Genesis chapter 26 of that verse. We have not found water. Your Bible says we have.
Yeah.
Can I give a little credit to the enemy tonight? They're so stupid. They tell us that that corrects this.
Mm.
Why don't you ever bring that verse up? And don't you go telling me that reads the major manuscripts. I'm going to tell you something. That Septuagint didn't come out. Jesus never quoted it. Paul never quoted it. Because when Westcott and Hort did their New Testament in Greek, they made it read the Old Testament readings like the Septuagint. They inserted those readings into their New Testament.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. So when Nestle and Elon come up with theirs, it reads like that too. So now it looks like the Septuagint has something to it. That thing didn't show up to 200 years after Paul and Jesus both were dead. It was an Origins six-column book called the Hexapla, and it was the fifth column of that book. That's where the Septuagint come from. We're talking about a man that castrated himself because the Bible said to. You're talking about taking something out of context. There it is.
Yeah.
He, and listen to this, origin in his beliefs was what you would call today an Aryan, like the Aryan nation. Whites only. Jesus had a white German father with blonde hair. That's that crowd.
Yeah.
And you're telling me his fifth column something is godly? I respectfully disagree with you.
Amen.
I take it back. I totally disagree. You don't care if you like it or not. You're attacking my Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is given by inspiration. That I read you is different than scripture.
Right.
Don't ever tell me that thing corrects this book. It don't.
Yeah.
And as long as it's got the Apocrypha in it, why don't you be honest and tell everybody that too? Or, oh, we can't tell everybody that. They'll know it's a fake then. Because Jesus Christ would have never quoted a document with the Apocrypha.
Right.
He never quoted any apocryphal books. Do you know in Bible college, one of the first things they teach you is when they got the canon of Scripture together, they looked at the thing. Did Paul quote it? Did Jesus quote it? Did John quote it? And all this. That's how them books got left out.
Yeah.
They're not missing books of the Bible. That stuff you buy on these shelves, these stores, says the missing books of the Bible are fake.
Right.
So how do you know? They don't line up with this book. This is the real one.
Right.
Do you think I care if somebody says, well, this it tells what Adam did after the Garden of Eden? I know what Adam did. He suffered.
Yeah.
But it tells about his first hunger pains. You really believe that? His first hunger pains came in the garden. That's why God said, you need all this. He is hungry. Ain't nobody got to tell me that. It's obvious.
Yeah. Amen.
So we be hungry in heaven yet till you realize where the food comes from. Remember that tree? It's there. You get hungry in heaven, you go eat any time.
Yeah.
But when you first get there, God's going to feed you the marriage supper with the Lamb because he knows you're hungry.
Amen.
Eat all you want to. Have the time. No restrictions on the diet. Everything's pure and good up there. And your body's got a glorified body. You'll be fine. You can do anything. It don't gain weight. It don't lose weight. Listen to me. As God is my witness, if you say we have not found water in sex, it totally changes the meaning of that verse, don't it? It's like showing God out to be a liar. Now I'm really mad at him. We've not found water. But they did find water. Tell you how bad it is. The NIV says we found water. It corrects the Greek right there. That's a good one, ain't it? They're so worried about us correcting Greek with the King James, but the NIV corrects it right there. The whole thing centers around one thing. When did he get right with God? After failure. What did he do? He built an altar when he got right. What did he do? He pitched his tent towards that thing. What did he do? They found water.
Right.
They found water. Do you know when I first got saved? I'll tell you a little story. When I first got saved, I go into the thing and I'm wanting to do right by God and everything. And all I wanted to do was do what God said. So I read the Bible. I read these stories about the Bible. I read the Bible. I went up to Christian Supply after I found out about the King James Bible, and I told the guy I want a large print version of what my grandma has, and he went, "This is what you want." You talking about an endangered species? Keep looking for them in these Christian bookstores. They're about to not sell them anymore. There's been a movement over the last 20 years, all these people writing books about it. It's got the average Christian back in on the King James thing. Now we're waving the flag and they carry them out of guilt.
Yeah.
Sure, they are guilty for wanting to sell them for money after the people wanted them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the anti-Trump crowd. Oh, we despise him, but yet you enjoying his benefits, ain't you?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Come on.
Now, he got me that Bible and I read it. I haven't memorized it. But I have read it, and I read it every year. At least once. You know why? I want to know what it says.
Yeah.
I've seen things this year I didn't see last year, the years before.
Right.
I caught something when they were going out of Egypt or over there, one spot of it that I'd never seen the Bible before, and I've read through it and it just missed it. I read the other day, I was reading about Solomon. And Solomon, it said plainly that his wives, plural, turned his heart away from God.
Yeah.
And I had to reconcile something in my head that I believe it, but I don't understand it. If Jesus Christ called that guy the wisest man in the world, but told on his sin over there, I'm thinking, how is that? He wasn't wise. You don't go to Solomon for family advice. You go to him for financial advice. And there's people like that in the world. You can go to him to find out how you read behind somebody how to run a home. They're the best guy on the subject. But other subjects they know nothing about.
Yeah.
There's some guys you go to, you read behind them and about things they show you in the Word of God, and they're the best on that subject, but don't dare let them counsel you on marriage.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
But I found out this. No matter what else you got, you better stick with the water.
Right.
I read a church administration handbook one time. Had to for school. They told us how to make a budget. How to do this, how to have deacons' meetings. And they went through the whole thing. Do you know I don't know where that book is right now? Forgotten all about it. It's somewhere, I suppose. I remember being red and yellow. The Hulkster brother, you know. It's the only way I can remember what when I get ready for school. Where my Hulk Hogan book at, you know? Hated that book. But the things that guy brought up in that book, he's right on some of them. Some of them he's wrong. Now watch this. He's not the final authority on church administration and management. The Bible is the final authority on church administration and management.
Amen.
We found the water. We found the water. We got bylaws here at the church. Where they at, I don't know. They probably on my computer hard drive somewhere. I think I got a copy there. But we don't focus on the bylaws. We focus on the Bible. Why? We found the water. If we're doing it wrong, we got it here. We don't need to have some egghead that wrote up this stuff. And by the way, in our bylaws, sodomites can't come here and join the church. That's been in there 10 years. We didn't have no special meeting with the law and all that other stuff. Do you know before these churches, listen, these churches right here said, they carry guns down there. I think God can protect them. They're having in the sheriff come in and tell them how to have a security force. We've been doing that almost 20 years. Oh, we forgot we called us names. My bad. But we found the water.
Right.
We found the water. So what are you met with in the back? A guy that checks your Bible versions? No, you get in here and get in it. You'll find the water too.
Yeah.
Never had a problem with that. All I know is if you have a thirsty soul, you set that in front of them, they'll come get it.
Right.
You know, somebody told me, he said, one time, said, you can't lead a horse to water and make him drink. I said, I bet you I can. Is that right, horse lady? You can make them drink. It's called salt. Just rub it all in their mouth and they'll let you. But within the hour, they'll be hunting it. Wanting the water. Say, preacher, why do you drink water when you preach? Because I get thirsty. And I don't want yellow stuff falling out of my mouth where I got my teeth glued in. I mean, I will, if you want me to, I'll do it like that. But, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. You bring a Christian in that's tired and weary and been beat up by this world. They've been trying to serve God their way. You get them into water and let them let God work with them. They'll tell you they found the water.
Yeah.
As we look at this stuff about the strategy of serving God, we've seen how not to do it. Then we've seen how to do it all in Isaac in this chapter. Are you serving the Lord his way or your way? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.